today's topic, heaven, our eternal home, and this is section 2, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9. Before we look at 2 Corinthians 5, look at 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, he starts to describe where we are in light of the gospel and this treasure that is found in clay pots. Now, last week, we talked about far better. It is far better when we are there. It is far better. You know, Paul is using Philippians chapter 1, 20, verses 21 through 24. And Paul said, you know, if I'm here, I have Christ, and it's better for you. It's better for you if I'm here because I can give leadership, I can teach, and so forth. But it's better for me if I die, therefore when I die, because I will be with Him. I will be with my Lord, and it'll be far better for me. And we talk about some of the silly notions people hammer out when they think about heaven. And some of the things that are said, and I mentioned one, I even pounded the lectern here. What did it again? Pounded the lectern here. We will not become what?
Angels.
And we don't want to become angels. Angels, you know what they'll be doing in heaven? They'll be ministering in the name of the Lord. And we were created lower than the angels, and God had mercy on us, and He came to live in us. God in us, and God with us. We're not going to become angels. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for angels, by the way. We're not going to float on a cloud and play a harp. You know, none of that kind of stuff. We're going to live much like we do here, except we'll live in the presence of the Lord and without some things. We'll have some things we'll do without. What will we do without?
Sin.
Well, sin, yes. Do without sin. Pain, sorrow, tears. We'll have all those things done away with. And we mentioned some occupations that won't be there, right? Won't need lawyers. Won't need doctors. And undertakers. We'll need those, you know. And so we start to get a sense that heaven is not this place that is so plastic we can't understand. It is what here was intended to be, but sin marred everything. So it's like returning to the garden, so to speak. And we started to picture in our minds places we love to be. Maybe it's sitting on the cliff with the Mediterranean Sea and looking out. Maybe it's in the Smoky Mountains, or for some of you, it may be at the beach. I don't know why it'd be at the beach, but maybe it's at the beach, wherever it might be. And you think of what God has created. But today we're going to talk about the gateway, the gate to getting there. Not talking about salvation as much, but just the gate to get there. And there's no St. Peter at the gate or anything like that. But an old, you know, story is, you know, it's kind of a joke type story, you know, but yet it's got some truth there. If Peter was there at the gates and he's asking a lady, why should you come into heaven? You need a number of points to get into heaven. Of course, I'm being silly now, but a number of points. And she said, well, I was married for 50 years and never, or it was a husband. I was married to my wife for 50 years and never cheated on her, even in my heart. And Peter said, well, that's good. That's worth 3 points. And he said, well, I attended church all my life, supported its ministry with my tithes and my service and Peter said, terrific, that's another point. And he said, you know, you're going to need 100 points to get in. And finally the man said, only 1 point for that? He said, at this rate, I'm going to need the grace of God to get into heaven. And Peter said, that's what you need. You have the points to get in. And, you know, through all of our service in life, our, you know, helping with this group and that group, all the things we do it to the glory of God. But let's remember, it is by His grace that we are saved. It is not anything we can do. And I've struggled with this. And I don't mean struggle in a sense. But I struggle with performance Christianity. I've been struggling with it for, well, going on 52 years, just at the end of this month, if you want to know the date. It's August 28th. And Steve's got one to you. Your birthday. We make it that long, you know. But, you know, I struggle at times. Still struggle. Because, God, I want to prove myself. I want to earn it. And God says, you can't earn it. Quit trying to earn things, because if it's left up to you to earn it, you would never be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Heaven, our eternal home. So we saw last week it'll be far better. But in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we see in context, the apostle is writing about the difficulties of ministry. He's really having a hard time, and I can understand he could pray that prayer with Bud Robinson, give me that, you know, that skin of a rhino, and give me that backbone him. But Paul had all that. And he said in verse 1, we have this ministry. And he says something else. We have this ministry by the mercy of God. And it says what? Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. We have this ministry. This ministry. And we sang this song a moment ago, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And I don't like singing that song. As the road marked with suffering, I will still say, Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I don't like singing that line. See, I like that abundance line. But sometimes our abundance is we have abundance, and we do. We have abundance of all the things we need. We sometimes also have an abundance of suffering. And Paul was going through an abundance of suffering. But in verse 5 there, he said it was God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness. Verse 7 again, he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. And this jars of clay is a pretty interesting picture. We understand the jars of clay because we have pots around us. We have things around us that tend to disintegrate. They tend to get old. They tend to fall apart after a while. So we get this jars of clay thing, or maybe we could say a jar of dust. We have the ancient treasures. We have the Holy Spirit living in a jar of clay. Or, as we're going to see in a little while, it's more like a tent because it is temporary. Drop down to verses 16 and 18 there of chapter 4. So again, he says, what? Do not lose heart. Though the outer shell is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now think about that. Now renewal is interesting. Renewal is an interesting word. Can you imagine Adam and Eve in the garden eating and being renewed? Eating and being renewed. We do the best we can. As a matter of fact, we Google stuff, we read stuff, we eat this, we eat that, all to squeeze out a little more existence or a more healthy existence here on earth. But there is nothing we can do that will give us that magic bullet to live forever here on earth. And by the way, we are thankful for that. In the long run, we're thankful for that. God, in His grace, has not allowed us to live forever in a state of a sinful world. Because it's far better to be somewhere else. But we understand nutrition. But there's nothing we can do that will give us the magic bullet. In heaven, it talks about eating from the tree of life. So we eat from the tree of life being renewed, renewed, and renewed. So Paul is telling us that while we have these earthen vessels that are not being renewed, our spirit, however, feeds on the Word of God and it doesn't get old. Our spirit is not destroyed. Our spirit is something that maintains. Now go back up to verses 8 and 9 of this same chapter. We are hard pressed on every side. Again, can anybody say amen? We, and by the way, maybe in relation to Paul, maybe not, but are you hard-pressed on every side? Yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And that's where we live as Christian men and women on this earth. All these things are against us, but I don't despair. I'm not destroyed. I'm not crushed. And I am not in despair because I know that my spirit is being renewed even if my body is not. Go back to verse 17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen to that. I tell you, you know, you see something today, it changes tomorrow. We were talking about the book, some things tend to change over time. We were coming over the hill this morning, and as you know where we live, you come down the street, you come up in front of Target there, and we've lived in that house since 2004 or 5, it's early part of 2005. There was nothing but a field there, and I don't even remember what it looked like. Now there's a Target and all this stuff there. And it's always been when you come up over the horizon and you can see off into the valley. And all of a sudden, and I'm not complaining, there's a Chick-fil-A going up, right? and you come up, and now instead of seeing that part of the valley, I see Chick-fil-A. And the landscape changes because what you did see changes. I was looking at somebody on TV. I think it was Dan Patrick. He was, you know, part of one of the Olympics. And since he hasn't been on ESPN in years, you know, I know he has a radio show that's that they do have television there, but I never see it. I was looking at him. I said, well, he doesn't look like what he once did. And I guess I'm the only person on earth who looks like they did when they were 18 years old, right? And, you know, because things that are seen do not remain. You know, and so we get this, we understand it, and it causes us at times to want to lose heart. I want to just ask a question. Let's just be real. Do any of you in your body, have you lost heart a little bit about the breakdowns of your body? Come on. You know, at times we do. Times we just despair. That at times we just one thing after another type deal. I was telling some officials and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about, you know, my knees hurt, this hurt, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, you get to be a certain age, and sometimes it feels like that. But I'm going to tell you, don't despair. Now let's go to this chapter 5. Three main points. Number one. The weakness of our body reminds us of heaven. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but the weakness of our body points and reminds us to heaven. And if we had no weaknesses as a body, we would not be longing for a new body. We'd not be longing for something different. Paul said in verse 1, "For I know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." He describes our bodies as an empty house or as a temple that is perishing day by day. And you know, when I think of the word tent, it really sorts to hit that home, that temporary building. And you see, I've got there, we have an inner man and an outer man. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God at any time." And Jesus said in John 4:24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So we see both from the words of Scripture and from our own existence that we have an inner man and an outer man. Now, I graduated from high school in 1982. 1982 used to be just a few years ago. Now it's like being in the 50s or whatever compared, you know, for my kids. Now, some of you graduated years earlier than 1982. And, you know, I won't just ask you, have you ever thought at times you start to look at your life and you say, boy, I feel like I just graduated. I mean, you know, in my mind, I just, you know, what has happened? Because I was just there, now I'm here. And we get this passage of time thing. We also get that we can transpose ourselves in our mind to be back then, back at that person. Where I wore Levi's straight-legged jeans, I had helmet hair, and, you know, all this stuff going on, you know. But I cannot put my body back in that place. I used to, when I first got out of, you know, college and so forth, and we were covering football games, I used to get them on the sidelines on Friday nights. And, you know, I said, boy, I wish I could just play. Dear, I want to just go out there and hit somebody, you know. I don't feel that anymore. And matter of fact, I appreciate it. I'm like, woo! I'm glad I don't have to do that, you know. Because, you know, you change. And your vision for things change. And that is the fight between the inner man and the outer man. The inner man and the outer man. What I used to could do a body, I can't do anymore. But in my mind, I could still do it. I still try to do it. You know, you watch Michael Phelps swim, and I promise you, if I got out there, if I started swinging my arms like him, I'd be in, you know, for a day, I'd have to sit down with icy hot on my back. I can't do it anymore because there's an inner man and the outer man, and we understand that tension. But we also see that there's a temporary tent and an eternal building. Now, the word for tent, the Greek word is skenos, skenos, meaning basically the skin of a building. You know, you have this temporary tent. You ever slept in a tent? We're going to get to a couple of points about the tent at the end. But, you know, a tent is a tent. I remember we tent camping one time and, you know, raining, and it was so nice. You could hear the rain pelting. And I don't know if it's Stephen or me or somebody just had to touch the tent. You know what happens when you touch a tent? Well, at least the old canvas tents. I don't know about the nylon tents. You know what happens when you touch a tent when it's raining? All sorts starts to drip in. And it was a mess, you know, all these things. But you know what you do with the tent when you finish? You fold it up. And in those days, many people lived in tents. They were nomads. Was it a Wednesday night? The guys were telling us about being in Bulgaria and the Romas, which are basically gypsies of the area, travel and live in tents. Or at least they find an old hollowed out building to live in. But in general, they for years lived in tents. Abraham was a nomad. He was part of a nomadic people, and they lived in tents. So they understand well this tent. And if you look in the Old Testament, David has a vision. And the vision is that God's house will no longer be a tent, but it'll be a temple. And that is a precursor. That is a parable to come. That's why they were so intent on that temple in the Old Testament. Because we want to get God out of the tent, and we want to put him in the tabernacle. So if you think about this, if you keep running this analogy along, you get into the New Testament, and the temple is gone, and the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit is where? It's what? It's here. It's back in the tent. But my tent here is temporary. It's nomadic. It's a shell. It's clay, a jar of clay. But I'm going to take and I'm going to go with him. And I'm going to have an eternal building. J. Vernon McGee said this: "It's a wonderful thing to know that every passing year brings me closer to him. I'm going to see him someday. I'm going to see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. I rejoice in that prospect. I don't have as much conflict with the world, the flesh, and the devil as I used to. I think they've finally given up on me." Or John Quincy Adams. What number president was John Quincy Adams?
Six.
Sixth president. John Quincy Adams, by the way, if you don't know, John Quincy Adams, and I really like John Quincy. You know, he and Andrew Jackson were mortal enemies, but John Quincy Adams was the first president to be photographed. That's just free knowledge. You can give me a dime later for now knowing that. But John Quincy Adams said this. Somebody asked him, said, "John Quincy, how are you doing?" He said, "Well, John Quincy is well, sir, very well. Now, the house in which he has been living is dilapidated and old. And he has received word from his maker that he must vacate the premises soon. But John Quincy Adams is well, sir, very well." And can we say that? I am well because my spirit is renewed day by day. My spirit is renewed. So we see that we live now in a house that is a tent. And we get to this third part of this first section. Earthly groaning and heavenly clothing. Verse 2 says this: "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." Our bodies start to cry out, "I want to be renewed. I want to be revived. I want something else." And we groan both in our prayers, but our bodies groan as well. Every time, you ever thought about this? And I don't, I wish I did, but I'm going to start doing it. Every time you have an ache or a pain, anybody have any aches and pains? Oh, my word. When you have one, think about that. My body's groaning to get out. You know, I'm going to be leaving this tent. I'm going to an eternal dwelling. So let that be a praise moment. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my, you know, the back or whatever. Thank you, Lord, that it takes me 20 minutes just to get out of bed anymore, whatever it might be. Because my body's groaning, just like the earth will groan. Romans chapter 8. Paul says in verses 18 and 19, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time, and not to be worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." So whether it's suffering at the hands of enemies like Paul was, or even in body, whatever suffering we have, those are not worthy to be compared to what it will be like to be in the presence of the Lord. Your sufferings here are momentary afflictions. You ever had a shot? Of course you've had a shot. I hate shots. I mean, I hate shots. Shots have increased over the last few, you know, years and so forth. When I was a kid, man, I would do anything not to get a shot. And when I was a kid, you know, back in the dark ages, when you went to the doctor, as a matter of fact, if you went to the doctor, there's a good chance they're going to give you a shot. So I never complained too loudly. I feel pretty good. You were going to take you to the doctor. No, I'm feeling much better. Because I didn't want to get a shot. But what are shots? They are temporary afflictions for a greater good. And we have that at times. Romans 8, 22 and 23. "For I know the whole creation," listen to this, "the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And you know, I wait for that. I'm groaning now, but I'm looking forward to groaning no more. By the way, it's another thing you could put in heaven. There'll be no more groaning. Paul speaks of this tent being clothed in these earthen vessels. In Acts 24:15, there is the writing, and it says this, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. And if you start getting into 1 Thessalonians, you start to get the idea that it is our bodies who die and they sleep until the day of resurrection. But you might also get the idea that our spirit sleeps until the day of resurrection. And that brings us to this second thing. Our spirits start to prepare us for heaven. And there are some people who believe in something called soul sleep. You ever heard the word soul sleep? When you die, your soul sleeps until the final day, and then you're resurrected. And as a matter of fact, they take it and go on from even soul sleep, and they start to add something called purgatory with that. And people are in this place where they can't get to heaven, and they're there, and you pray them out of purgatory. And I believe the Bible teaches against both of those very strongly. And when you start thinking about the spirit being separate from the body, just like that little girl's spirit was separate from the body, just like Paul writes, my body will die, but I'll be present with the Lord. Just like when Jesus was on the cross and he was next to the thief, and he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And many people try to put a comma after today, but there is not one. Today you will be with me in paradise. And so we see heaven is this paradise. Heaven is this place. But most of all, heaven is this place where we become present with the Lord. Now, in those days, we see that there was the teaching, and we see that when people died, they went to a certain place. Their souls were in a certain place. And we see described Hades, and we see described the bosom of Abraham, where believers were. And we even see where Jesus, at the end, during his death time, you know, we even in the Apostles' Creed talk about he descended to hell or descended into the dead. And we have the thought there was the loosening of those people who were in the bosom of Abraham to go to this place to be with him now. They were taken out of that. And we saw last week where Paul talked about his vision, out of body, anybody, he said he didn't know, was of the third heaven, the place where we will all be one day. So what happens when we die? What happens to our spirits? And our spirits go to be with him. Will we be a spirit that you can't see? I don't know. I'll tell you what I think. This is think, right? I think we'll probably have some form of body. And it'll be some form of body that we're in until our earthly bodies, as we mentioned on Easter Sunday, are resurrected. Because God's not going to leave anything unredeemed. And he's going to take even this old body and resurrect that one day. But in the interim, my spirit's there, and I believe we'll have some body. It may be something like the body of Christ that we see in the upper room. I don't know what it'll be like. But we're going to be in his presence with that body until we get reunited with our glorified or our redeemed, our resurrected body. That's a lot to take in, I understand. But the key point is what happens to us when we die. I'll be present with the Lord. Look at verse 5 here. So always be of good courage. We know that while we are home in the body, we are what? We're what? Away from who? God. The Lord. Away from God. Away from the Lord. Okay? So we're away from the Lord while we are in the body. But look what it says after that. I was reading verse 6. Verse 5 says, he's prepared for us. The very thing is God who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Verse 6 says, be of good courage while we're away from, we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. So walk by faith, not by sight. Now let's key in here on this preparation time. Let's key in on verse 5 on this word guarantee even. Romans 8:29, he says, he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of God. By the way, a verse you can always remember, say it again and again and again and again. Whenever you doubt, whenever you have problems, keep saying, God says he will never leave me or forsake me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. If He is with you now, He will be with you through the entire process. God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of heaven. Look at what it says there. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. That is quite confusing. But go to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. You don't have to turn there. But it says the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of promise and is a guarantee of our inheritance. The word there, A-R-R-A-B-O-N, means earnest or down payment. We were talking about earnest money. You know what earnest money is? When you put a contract on a house or some contract, you give some money to say, I'm earnestly interested in this. And I'm really putting myself on the line here. I'm giving you a guarantee. I'm giving you something to show that I'm serious. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit given to us is earnest. It is a down payment. It is something so that you can know without a shadow of doubt you have an inheritance in heaven. Now, I want to say, I want to rewind here for a minute. The key is, do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? That's not another subject. It is the key subject. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you know, it is the guarantee that God will not leave you, He will not forsake you, and He has this inheritance for you in heaven. Everybody wants to say hallelujah to that. You know, praise the Lord for that. He didn't leave us just wandering, leave us just words. He leaves us with His presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. And man, I know He lives in me because of so many reasons. I'm not what I used to be. My thought process is not what it used to be. I sense His presence. He has made Himself known to me. And as I walk with the Spirit of God, it just gives me great courage, as Paul says, to don't worry about the earthen vessel because I'm going to be transported into His presence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff. All right. Third, our walk of faith assures us of heaven. Verses 6 through 9. So we always be of good courage. We know that while we're home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. Why do you keep saying that? Good courage, you know, be of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether of good or evil. There will be that judgment time. And that's where we get into this separation of spirits, because we understand from Revelation the different judgments. There's the great white throne judgment. There's a judgment that people who do not know the Lord will go through. And they'll go through this judgment. And they are in a place of holding of Hades now. And then it says, once they go through that judgment, they will be separated. They will be cast out completely. There will be others who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, at that time, their names will be not written or found in the judgment of the white throne judgment. Their names will be found somewhere else. Where? The second book, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And so we see that Paul is saying here, be of good courage, because if you're in the body, well, you're away from the presence of the Lord and you have to deal with all this suffering. But when you die, you're going to be present with Him. So be of good courage, present with the Lord. Now, I say all that to say this. Our point here today is to simply point out that when we die physically, our spirits are present with the Lord. We've gone a long way around the barn to say that is the gateway to heaven. We should desire to put off things and please Him, yes. We do all that. We put aside things in life because they're not necessary to heaven. We're preparing to go to heaven. And as we do that, we start getting ready, like Paul, to have good courage. There's an old fable that goes something like this. There was a crane and there was a swan. And the swan and the crane were talking, and the crane was looking for snails on the side of the shore or on the creek side. And the crane looked up at the swan and said, "Where do you come from?" And the swan said, "I came from heaven." And the crane said, "And where is heaven?" And the swan said, "Well, heaven. Well, heaven is, how can you have never heard of heaven? It's a beautiful place. It's an eternal city with streets of gold, and the gates and the walls are made of precious stones. It has a river of life, purest crystal. upon whose banks the tree whose leaves shall be for the healing of the nations. In eloquent terms, this swan kept describing heaven. And the crane looked at the swan at the end and said, "Are there any snails in heaven?" And the swan said, "Snails? No, there are no snails in heaven." And the crane says, "Well, you can keep your heaven. I'm just interested in snails." And a lot of people live like that. That's what they're interested in. That's what they're putting their focus on. But I want to say to us that as Stephen prayed, I keep giving these little notes of the Spirit, right? As Stephen prayed in the book of Acts, as he was being stoned, he looked up, he saw the sun standing, right? Standing. And he said this, Stephen said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So we see with the little girl who had died, the spirit came back to her body. We see Stephen talking about as he was dying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." We see Jesus talking about the spirit. And then we see Paul saying, "Don't be all concerned about the breakdown and the death of this body, because when you do, your spirit goes to be in his presence." So the evidence in the New Testament is very strong about what happens. We can face death. Let me leave you with these three things. We can face death with confidence when we realize we're living in a tent, and these tents are going to be done away with. By the way, tents are two things. They're insecure and they're uncomfortable. And both of those things are true of our bodies, right? Insecure, I mean, you know, really? Very fragile. Jump off a building, you'll find out, whoa, it's insecure. And it is very uncomfortable at times. You know, I don't know when it hits, but it will hit if it hadn't hit yet. We can also face death with confidence when we understand what happens when we die. When you get to that thought, when you get to be to a place of good courage, then you don't fear what will happen at death. A couple things in closing. There is the departure of the spirit from the body. We understand that. And after the departure from the body comes the immediate presence with the Lord. The immediate presence with the Lord is what we're looking for. Paul says, we groan now because as Christian men and women, we are starting to really know, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. You ever thought about that? You ever thought, my dad talked about praying one time and he said that the Lord was going to show me his face, and right toward the end of this time when he was praying, he said, I'm going to see the face of God. That verse came to his mind. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I want to see and believe. There are places I want to go see here on earth. Can you imagine what it would be like in heaven? Can you imagine once we get to see the mountains and the rivers and the valleys and all the stuff there? I want to be there. We talked last week, there are people I want to see again, and that's good. And we also want to be in the presence of the Lord. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. So what happens when we die? For those who know Jesus, they are immediately transported their spirits into the presence of the Lord. It's not hocus pocus. It's not something that, you know, just makes us feel good. It's the truth from the Word of God. Present with the Lord. I'll give a quick closing. I always struggled with life and the giving of life and so forth. And I've told this many times. And until September 17th, 1991, the Lord used the birth of Jacob. As I was standing in that delivery room, watching this happen, and here was life. And the Lord said, you know, there's a body there. But that life, that spirit, that's mine. That's for me. I said, wow. This is powerful. And that body that came into, that life that came into that body will be temporary. Visitation temporary here. But that spirit will be eternal. All spirits are eternal. Where will your spirit be when your body no longer can work to contain it? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for just the opportunity to see a glimpse into heaven. Lord, it is my desire to pull back the shade so I can see completely. But I understand I can't see completely now. And this process that we're going through in life in order to get to this place that we're talking about, we today focused on being in your presence. And in order to get to heaven, we have to understand what happens when we die. If you don't come back before we perish, our bodies perish, then we will be present with you. And Lord, we long and we groan to be present with you in a way that we don't even know now, even though we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Father, help us to take all the suffering, all the groaning of the earthen vessel, and even turn that to praise and worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.